This is where we were this morning. Pray for those that are in nursing homes, can't have visitors. That's got to be rough. Just pray for them. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. This morning we see that the emphasis of this psalm is the fact that God is. And that is in spite of what we read in verses 2 and 3. You have four times the word though, and then a calamity, a crisis following that word. The psalm, of course, consists of 11 verses. 10 of those verses, the psalmist is speaking of God, speaking wonderful things about God, glorious things about God. Verse 10, God speaks himself, and he speaks to the psalmist. But again, as you look at the psalm in its entirety, and from the emphasis of the psalm, you get a picture of assurance. You can't read this psalm without getting a picture of assurance, and there's comfort, there's strength, there's security, there's peace, there's refreshment. We see it's spoken in a tone of conviction. It's spoken with, as we said this morning, in praise and adoration and worship of the Lord. There's a great tone of confidence as the psalmist speaks. And again, all of this is in very tumultuous situation. So we want to speak tonight on a wonderful life in tumultuous times. You and I that are saved. Glorious and wonderful thing happened the day the Lord saved our soul. And from that point on, we have had the opportunity. We haven't always taken advantage of it, but we have had the opportunity every single day to live a life that no one else can live, that the lost person cannot live. We have the opportunity to live a wonderful, an amazing life. And then when life is over here, we go to heaven. I mean, it just doesn't get any better. But we want to look at seven features that we can see in this psalm concerning the life that we, the saved, can live. First of all, as we emphasized this morning, it is a life in which God is the central focus. God is the focus of this psalm. God is the emphasis of this psalm. The psalm begins with God. The psalm ends with God. The emphasis in between is God. Such should be our life. Our entire life, the emphasis needs to be God. We have different aspects of our life. We have different areas of our life. You have your professional life, your work life, your family life, and on we can go. There's many different aspects of our life. And God isn't to be kept out of any of them. God is to be the emphasis. God is to be the focus of every area of our life. It's wrong to say, well, this is my work life. I keep this separate from my spiritual life. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. God needs to be the emphasis. God needs to be the focus throughout. Regardless of the setting that we might find ourselves in, God and not the setting is to be the main thing. God and not the setting is to be the dominating factor. It is to be the center of our life. I don't believe our setting, whatever it is, it can be a wonderful setting, it could be a horrible setting. But I don't believe the setting is ever to overshadow God. Never. God is always to be the emphasis. God and not the setting is to be the highlight and the main feature of our life. So regardless of the setting, God is to be the center of how we think, how we act. He's to be the focus. He's to be the purpose. He's to be the passion of our life. And it's not always easy, because sometimes the setting or the circumstances we find ourselves in can be overwhelming. But it's not to overshadow the Lord. This life that we can live is a life in which God is the main thing. Now, in order for God to be the main thing, in order for God to be the emphasis, He has to be more than a doctrine. He has to be more than a belief. He has to be more than just a theological point. He has to be real to us. He has to be reality in our lives. So regardless of the setting that we may find ourselves in, we're to be more aware of God, we're to pay more attention to God than the setting. God can use the setting, of course, to draw our attention to Himself, and God often does that, which again only proves that that is to be our focus all the time, God. So we need to view our setting seeing God. Never dismiss God. Never take God out of the equation. You have to see God in everything. You have to be able to see God by faith in every single thing. And again, we've said this many times. We live in a horizontal world. The people of the world live their lives horizontally. We're to live vertically. And that's true, again, regardless of the setting. So we have a wonderful life when God is the central focus, when He's the theme, when He's the subject. And when that happens, that changes our perspective on everything. We see everything differently. Secondly, it's a life in which God is the source. In verse 1, we see we need a refuge. We need a place of protection, a place of hiding, a place of safety, a place of supply. And verse 1 tells us God is our refuge. That is, He's the source. He's the source. We see also that we need strength. We need power. We need stamina that goes beyond our physical and mental strength. And the first verse tells us God is that strength. That is, He's the source. We need help. We need support, relief, deliverance. That's help. And God is our help. So again, He is the source. We see that we need to be conscious all the time that everything I need is in God. He's the source. He is the source. And a focus upon God, of course, will cause us to realize that He is our source. And when we realize that He's the source, when we realize that He is everything that I need, you can't be unmindful of Him. When you truly realize He's what I need, you'll be mindful of Him. You'll seek Him. You'll draw near to Him. And you'll lean upon Him and you'll depend upon Him. And you'll look to Him for all things. And that's a wonderful life. To know that God is the source. To know it so well that I go to Him for all things. Even things that we do thousands of times repetitively. We should still go to Him. He's our source. It's a wonderful life when we realize, when we live life in the realization, I need Him. I need Him. And in times in which we find ourselves in, I would hope that many will come to the realization, we need God. We need the Lord. Thirdly, it's a life experiencing Him. Again, in verse 1, God is, followed by the pronoun, our, which of course links Him to us to Him. The psalmist says with much assurance, he says with conviction, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. And the reason he says this with such assurance and conviction is because he has personally experienced it. That's the reason. It's not because he read it in some book, and we can read it in this book, God's Word, but it has to be more than that. We ought to know these things because we've lived them. We ought to know God is my refuge because I've experienced it. God is my strength because I've experienced it. God is my help because I've experienced it. And the more we experience it, the more boldly and with the more assurance do we say, the Lord God, the Lord is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. So again, this is more than a knowledge about God. It's something that we experience. Notice verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of the holy place, or the city of God. How did he know that? How did he know about this river? How did he know about the streams that bring gladness? Because he experienced it. We have a wonderful life to live. A life of experiencing God. God's in our life every day. We couldn't live without that being so. But many times we're oblivious to it. And we read wonderful things of God in His Word. But it's not enough just to read those things. We have to have a personal experience, and that's our privilege. That's our opportunity. We can have a life experiencing God. Notice verse 5. God is in the midst of her. He knew that by experience. He's been to the holy place. He's been to the tabernacles. And he's felt the presence of God. And so he can write by personal experience. Verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. He'd seen that. He had seen God overcome and defeat his enemies. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. He's experienced that. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's experienced all of these things. And we just see the same thing in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. And then he goes on and he mentions some of them in verse 8 and verse 9. He says, come, behold. He knew there were things to behold. And he knew that by experience because he had beheld them in the past. So this life that we can live is a life experiencing God. We ought to pray every day, Lord, help me to experience you today. So it's a wonderful life when you can experience God every day. Before we were saved, I had no desire to experience God. And if you would have told me that I would experience God, it would have scared me to death. But now it's something we look forward to, experiencing the Lord. Fourthly, it is a life impacted by God. We live in a time when many in the religious world want you to believe that the Lord saved their soul but left no impact upon their life. That's not possible. That's not possible. We have a life that God has greatly impacted the very moment He saved our soul. And now we have a life, we can live a life that is impacted by God. Again in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, verse 2, therefore, referring back to what was just said, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength and very present help in trouble, therefore will not we, okay, it has a personal impact, will not we fear. You see, what he said in verse 1 has impacted his life when you get to verse 2. It has made a forceful impression upon him. So what is stated in verse 1 has a major effect upon his life. What is stated in verse 1 has a transforming effect upon his life. And when you and I open this book, when we read of God and we read of Christ and we read of the Holy Spirit and we read of the works of the Lord, that ought to have a major impact upon our life. It ought to have a transforming impact. Salvation does that. But every day there ought to be this impact made by God upon our lives. Again, verse 1, we read verse 1 and then we read, therefore will not we. So we need to make personal examination. Which has more impact upon us? God? Or the setting or the circumstances in which we might find ourselves at any time? What is it that has the most impact upon us? Which makes a more forceful impression upon us? Our circumstances or God? Which is it? Because God is, in all of our circumstances, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in all of our circumstances. But many times, and again, I'll just speak for myself, circumstances have more of an impact than He does. That's not right. So we need to ask ourselves, which are we more impacted by? God? Or the circumstances that we might find ourselves in? People that are only impacted by circumstances are very moody people, because circumstances can change just like that, and therefore mood swings. And it's not a happy life. It's not a happy life for those who have the mood swings, and it's not a happy life for those who have to live with it. Our life needs to be impacted by the Lord. When the fact of God and who God is our focus and is our reality, and we live experiencing God personally, your life will be greatly impacted. You can't experience God personally and not be impacted by it. So what is the extent of this impact? Well, we see that in verses 2 and verse 3. Therefore will not we fear, though. Four times he uses the word though. Each time, of course, there's something that follows though. And what follows though in these cases, none of it's good. Though the earth be removed, nevertheless, the impact of God is even greater. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the impact of God is even greater. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, the impact of God is even greater than that. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, with the swelling of the sea. What he's saying is, you take all of this, these chaotic things and disastrous things, and the impact that God had upon the life was greater than the impact of these things. Therefore will not we fear. That's quite a statement in light of what follows the those, but an impact has been made. Regardless of our theological position concerning God, if God does not impact our life, what do we really have? So to what degree does the Lord impact our lives? What a wonderful life it is to live life impacted by God. Fifthly, it is a life enjoying the Lord. Enjoying the Lord. A lot of people know a lot of things about the Lord, but they don't have a lot of enjoyment of the Lord. Throughout the entire psalm, there is a sense of joy in God. Despite the setting, and we spent time this morning on the setting, but despite the setting of the psalm, I hear joy in every verse, every single verse. There's this tone of joy. In each verse, there's a sense of happiness and gladness and delight in the Lord, and a satisfaction And the basis of all these things is not the setting, is not the circumstance. It's the Lord. If circumstances are the basis of our enjoyment of life, you're going to be miserable a lot of times. That's not to be our basis. Our basis is the Lord. Again, verse 4, there is a river, the streams that whereof shall make glad. That's enjoyment. It's an enjoyment that he's experienced. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's a truth. But do we enjoy it? There's something to enjoy there. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Do we enjoy the Lord of hosts? Oh, I enjoy the doctrine of the Lord of hosts. That teaches the sovereignty of God. I enjoy that doctrine. But do I enjoy the Lord of hosts? Is the main question. Do we enjoy the Lord? We can live a life enjoying the Lord. This is more than enjoying truth about God. We ought to enjoy truth about God. But you can enjoy truth about God without enjoying God. And that's very dangerous. Do we enjoy the Lord? Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. He's enjoying it. Come behold the works of the Lord. He's enjoying the works of God. We, most of the time, don't understand the works of God, even when we think we do. But we sure ought to enjoy them. We ought to enjoy the God who works. So we see this joy is independent of everything you read in verses 2 and 3. This is a joy that does not find, this enjoyment of God does not find its basis in circumstances. We read in verse 6, the heathen raged. Yet, he's enjoying God. He's enjoying God. And the heathen, they can upset us. They can upset us. And our flesh and Satan can use that to keep us from enjoying God. So if you ask many of God's people why they're not rejoicing or why they're not enjoying God, why they're not happy, you'll get as many answers, as many people as you ask. But they'll all basically say the same thing. Somebody did something. Somebody neglected to do something. Somebody said something. Somebody neglected to say something. Somebody did something that I don't agree with. None of those are the reasons. Because this enjoyment of God is independent of people and independent of circumstances. People can upset us, and if we allow it, they can ruin our day. I can upset myself, but none of that is to, whatever people do is not to overshadow my enjoyment of God. It's not to rob us of our enjoyment of the Lord. So we have a life that we can live enjoying God. That'd be a good thing to pray. Lord, help me to enjoy you. Amen. Help me to enjoy you. Sixthly, it's a life of spiritual advancement. In verses 1 through 9, again, the psalmist is speaking. He does so with conviction. He does so with great assurance of God. And I believe as he speaks through verses 1 through 9, he's enjoying God. He's enjoying the Lord. He speaks in a tone of calm, and spirit of adoration and worship and reverence. But then again in verse 10, God speaks. God speaks. And the psalmist hears. And regardless of whatever setting we may find ourselves in, God has something to say. And we need to hear. And we need to receive what He says. The God who cannot lie has something to say. The God who cannot be mistaken, cannot be wrong, cannot be inaccurate or misguided, has something to say. It would be wise to listen. God, who is all-knowing, He's everywhere present, He has something to say. The God who loves us, the God who cares for us, the God who nurtures us, the God who's merciful and long-suffering and gracious and good and faithful, has something to say. And what God says should slay all doubt. God does not speak without reason. God does not speak without purpose. God does not speak without cause. He does not speak that which is unnecessary. He does not speak that which is not important. After God spoke in verse 10, again, what God said was, "Be still and know that I am God." And after He spoke, after the psalmist heard Him speak, and after the psalmist received what He said, he wrote verse 11, which is a repeat of verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But I believe the tone of verse 11 is far different than the tone of verse 7. I believe the tone in verse 7 is good. Very good. He's enjoying God. But after he heard God speak, he felt he had to repeat verse 7. And I believe he did so with greater emphasis. My point is, he's advancing spiritually. In the life that we are called to live, the life that we can live, is a life of advancing spiritually. And then lastly, it is a life of reflecting upon God. Verse 3, verse 7, verse 11. We have that word, Selah. To put it in plain English, stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. The word occurs throughout the Psalms and several other places. We can reflect on a lot of things. Some things that we reflect upon will not help us one bit. In fact, they'll destroy us. We can reflect on a lot of things. That's our nature, to reflect. A lot of people, when they reflect, they revise history. We can live a life reflecting upon God. Spend some time each day reflecting upon God. Just reflect upon what God has done in your life, or what God has done in the life of someone else. There's a lot of spiritual benefit in reflecting upon the Lord. I can reflect upon something that someone said 5, 10, 15 years ago that's not going to help me. I can reflect upon God. That'll always help. That'll always be beneficial. Again, this is why God has to be the main thing. It's a wonderful life to be able to think and meditate upon God. It is a good exercise for people to get together and just talk about the goodness of God in their lives. And each one just share what God has done. At a certain point in their life or overall. But if we reflect upon God, we never lack a subject to think about because He's everywhere. What a wonderful life to think and meditate upon God. I believe in the day in which we live, and that's so fast-paced, the art of meditation is long gone. And that's sad, because it's such a beneficial exercise for a child of God. Again, read the Word of God. Read slowly. Read a little bit at a time and stop and think about it. Meditate. Apply it to your life. What an extraordinary, worthwhile, and meaningful life we can live. We're going to have some verses 2 and 3 in our lives. We're probably not going to literally see the mountains going into the sea. I believe there's a metaphor here. But it can sure feel like it. And it can be that chaotic. But even though we're going to have those times, our lives ought to be lives of focus upon God. We need to ask God to help us. When we find ourselves in adverse circumstances, or it can be wonderful circumstances, but our minds kind of drift from God. Lord, help me to keep my focus upon You. And in these times, we can live a life in which God is a source. We have many needs, and God's the source of every one of them. And we can live our lives going to Him and life of personal experience of God. Whatever the circumstance, our desire ought to be to experience God in that circumstance. It's a horrible thing to go through a trial, to go through a time of difficulty, and not experience God. But that's our opportunity. We can experience God in every happening of life and be impacted by God and enjoy God. Doesn't mean that every circumstance is enjoyable? Certainly it's not. And we can't always rejoice in the happenings of life. But we can always rejoice in God. And we ought to always be able to enjoy the Lord. So sometimes we just have to pray, Lord, this is a bad circumstance I'm in. I don't like this circumstance. Lord, You're going to have to help me to enjoy You. Get my mind off these other things and enjoy You. Life of spiritual advancement. All circumstances ought to be a time of spiritual advancement, where we can move forward spiritually. And then a life of reflecting upon the Lord. What a wonderful life is ours to live. And it's a life regardless of setting, regardless of circumstance. It's a life of courage. It's a life of strength. It's a life of gladness. And again, this regardless of circumstances. And there's so much more in this 46th Psalm as there is in all the Word of God. God help us to live the life that we are privileged to live. And it is that life that brings glory to God, and that's why we ought to want to live it. Not because it makes us happy, though it does, but because that's the life that glorifies Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.